from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we'll discuss the Giants' weekend against the Braves, Giants being officially eliminated on Friday, the Braves clinching the division with the win over the Giants, and then another loss on Saturday, followed by a win on Sunday in the last road game of the season, and allegedly of Bruce Bochy's managerial career. So I say allegedly because there's these, you know, the Padres fired their manager, Andy Green, over the weekend, and there suddenly became speculation that Bruce Bochy was on a short list of theirs to replace Green as manager, which doesn't necessarily make sense, given that all season long we've been under the impression that Bochy is retiring and that was always his intention. So the fact that people are suddenly speculating about Bochy managing the Padres, to me, doesn't really make sense on the surface. But then there's this article by Andy Baggerly in The Athletic where he talks to a bunch of Giants players about do they think Bochy will manage again, and pretty much all of them are saying yes. So it's a bizarre situation that we're actually going to break down in detail on today's show, as well as discuss any and all key points from the three games over the weekend against the Braves. But first, let's talk about the Giants' record. They're currently at 75-81 with six games remaining on the schedule. So they finished up their road schedule and they finished at 42-39, which is a really good road record. It's the fourth best road record in all of the National League. Only the Dodgers, Braves, and Nationals have better road records in the NL. So that was not the issue this season. It was the fact that they went 33-42 at home. Anyway, jumping into this Bochy story and speculation about his future, the first thing that just has to be said is that, you know, MLB trade rumors and other sources I've seen have written about and speculated about how perhaps Farhan Zaidi coming in told Bochy that he needed to retire, like basically pushed him out the door and said they weren't going to bring him back and that he should retire. Something along those lines where Farhan Zaidi pressured Bochy to retire. But I guess people have forgotten or never knew in the first place or somehow missed the fact that we were told as soon as Bochy announced his retirement, it came out, I forget the source, but it came out from legitimate sources that during the interview process, Farhan Zaidi was told by Larry Bear and whoever else was interviewing him that Bochy was retiring after the season. So that was like part of the allure to Farhan Zaidi coming here, was that he was told he was going to get an opportunity to hire a new manager after the 2019 season. So we need to put those speculations to bed. That never was the case, and so it's frustrating to see people, legitimate writers, like speculating as to that may have been what happened, that Farhan Zaidi pushed Bochy out. It's like, consequentially, maybe, yes, the fact that the Giants wanted to hire a new president of baseball operations, whoever it would be, that because the Giants wanted to go that route, that may have spelled the end for Bochy in a sense, but it wasn't like Farhan Zaidi specifically pushing Bochy aside. And it also could very much have to do with Bochy reading the room. We've seen that speculated about a lot, and I think that has a lot more truth, that Bochy understands a new president of baseball operations was going to come in, and he didn't want, this is his last season under his contract, he didn't want to create an awkward situation where he had to be fired or just not brought back, and that would create a bunch of controversy, negative publicity, what have you. So he was right. You know, Farhan Zaidi would be in a very uncomfortable situation if Bochy had not announced his retirement. But then at the end of the day, I have a hard time like seeing Bochy announcing his retirement, going through all season long, collecting, you know, tokens of appreciation and farewell parting gifts from around the league and being committed to the whole retirement thing and then suddenly just joining another team after the season. I just have a hard time seeing that, especially with Bochy, because of how much of a guy he is, like a man of his word and a character-centric human being. If the whole league went all in on his farewell tour, and then he suddenly just comes back next season, I feel like that's a little bit disrespectful, is not the right word, but it just doesn't jive with the Bruce Bochy that I've come to know from following his career closely for the last almost 15 years. Yet, if you read into this Athletic article, you know, Jeff Samardzija, Madison Bumgarner, and Brandon Crawford specifically all say that they expect him to manage again, which is just bizarre given everything we just discussed. But the fact is, it needs to be stated that the front office didn't push Bochy out explicitly. If anything, it was Larry Bear and ownership that may have nudged Bochy out the door, because it was brought up in the interview process that Bochy was going to be leaving after the season, and it was not a demand of the new front office. Just to give an example of what's in this article where the players are saying they expect him to manage again, Baggerly writes, "Does Crawford believe that Bochy is truly finished as a major league manager?" And then Crawford says, "No, and I'll leave it at that." Which makes it sound like he has inside information that Bochy intends to continue managing at some point in the future. And, you know, what's interesting is that for years and years in the offseason, people would ask Bochy about plans for the future. He always kind of took it almost as an insult that people were always asking him about when he might retire, because he had no intentions of retiring. And his answer was always the same. And it was that he said if he was retired, this is what he would want to be doing. Managing a baseball team is what he would want to be doing in retirement. So he said year after year that he essentially wanted to manage as long as physically possible. And so then suddenly last spring training, when he just announced that he was going to be retiring after the season, it was quite a surprise. So I guess we'll see. There's multiple potential managerial openings this offseason. Of course, the Padres, who fired their manager over the weekend. Ned Yost today announced his retirement after the 2019 season, but I definitely would have a hard time seeing Bochy going to Kansas City. And then there's speculation that Joe Maddon in Chicago may be on his way out, especially with the Cubs collapsing here down the stretch for the second season in a row, mind you, and his contract is expiring. And then there's speculation as well about Gabe Kapler's position in Philadelphia. So a bunch of potential openings this offseason, and I guess Bochy, you know, according to the players, who I do view as legitimate sources because they're the people who are closest to Bochy that we, you know, get to hear their comments about this. I just think it seems that it is a possibility, but that just is really surprising. So anyway, coming up in the second half of the show, there's some more quotes, kind of unrelated, but Jeff Samardzija goes off about managers who focus on numbers, and we're going to read those quotes and explain why he's cherry-picking to prove a biased opinion there, and that's pretty obvious. We'll also talk about the key notes from this weekend against the Braves. Bombas are the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. With every pair purchased, a pair is donated. Go to bombas.com/locked to get 20% off your first purchase. Everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite team or seeing your favorite band in person. I want to talk about the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, where you can attend these shows and events and earn credit towards attending your next live event through Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is the top source for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price, section, row, sit exactly where you want to sit, all through the Vivid Seats app. And what makes them really stand out here is their Vivid Seats loyalty program, which allows you to earn credit back through something called Vivid Seats Rewards. You can download the Vivid Seats app at the App Store or Google Play Store, and you'll be automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. You can attend the biggest concerts, the hottest games, postseason games, theater shows, and more. Download the app, automatically join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today, and make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. If you enter special promo code POSTSEASON at checkout, you can earn a discount of up to $100. We talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, as promised, we'll talk about some of the quotes from Jeff Samardzija in this article that I thought were humorous. So the quote from Samardzija in question here goes as follows. Quote, I think what you're probably going to see is teams that have gone really hard on numbers and it hasn't worked, maybe they would like a different point of view towards how to use the numbers. Some teams are going on two or three managers who only use numbers. And if they haven't been to the playoffs in 5 or 6 years, they might be searching for something different. And the epitome of that would be Boach. So I suppose it's not that egregious, but I'd like to know who he's talking about. Is it the Mets? Because Mickey Callaway, fans get driven crazy by Mickey Callaway because he doesn't kind of apply analytics to his managerial style. He literally said something like 85% of what I do goes against analytics, something like that. It was a really bizarre quote earlier in the season. Is he talking about the Phillies? Looking through the teams across baseball, I have no idea who he could be talking about. There really aren't any teams that epitomize those statements. And what he kind of conveniently leaves out of this criticism of managers who, quote, only use numbers, which, again, is like a fantasy. I'd like to know who he's talking about. He conveniently leaves out the fact that the best teams in baseball are teams that are all in on analytics. And so, like, who are some of the old school managers that are left? It's Bruce Bochy in San Francisco, under 500. Don Mattingly in Miami, 101 losses. Brad Ausmus in Detroit, 109 losses. Ned Yost in Kansas City, 100 losses. That's pretty much it. And then if you look across who are the best teams in baseball, Yankees, extremely new school. Tampa Bay, always extremely new school. 102 wins for the Yankees, 92 wins for the Rays. Minnesota Twins have become more of an analytically focused organization, just hired a new manager this year, Rocco Baldelli, away from the Tampa Bay Rays, who are always 100% like leading the way in the new school. The Twins have 96 wins. Houston Astros. I mean, Houston Astros are like the poster team of the analytics movement. AJ Hinch, young manager, definitely not like an old school manage with your gut type of manager. 102 wins, just won their third consecutive division yesterday. Oakland A's, very much a new school team. Bob Melvin is maybe a throwback a little bit, but he's not somebody who ignores the analytics. 94 wins for the A's. Brewers, Dodgers. I mean, I think for Samardzija, Dave Roberts and the Dodgers are like the epitome of everything he doesn't like about modern baseball, but they've won the division 7 years in a row. I know Roberts wasn't there for all of it, but they've gone to the World Series 2 consecutive years. They've won 100 games so far in 2019. with six games remaining, and they have a 20-game lead in the division. So it's just a little bit indefensible to kind of say those things that he's saying. He's essentially cherry-picking from a few teams where he's exaggerating about the state of their team. We don't know who he's even talking about. I don't see a team that matches that description. And he's conveniently just ignoring all the multiple teams out there that have like new school, young managers who are the very best teams in baseball. We all understand you can't just be a manager who doesn't know how to communicate and doesn't communicate well with your players. Nobody is suggesting that that's a good idea. And nobody making a hiring of a manager is hiring a manager who they think is a bad communicator or someone who just doesn't know the game really well. So anyway, in conclusion, the big storyline from the weekend's games against the Braves, you know, Giants got pounded in the first couple games, but then on Sunday, Logan Webb pitched brilliantly, 6 innings, 7 strikeouts, 2 walks, 1 earned run, and 2 hits allowed. So his best start as a major leaguer, or at least up there among his other good starts. Tyler Rogers pitched 2 scoreless innings with 2 hits and 3 strikeouts. So he's just continued to be a really strong weapon out of the bullpen, has not allowed a home run yet. And Will Smith allowed a hit, but struck out 2 in a scoreless 9th to secure the victory. So the Giants are off today. So we'll put a post on Twitter. We'll do a little Q&A right before the season ends here. I would love to hear from any of you who have thought about contributing or asking a question but haven't done so yet. So anyway, we'll be back with another episode tomorrow doing the Q&A. To get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.